Good morning. I've been gone for a couple of months, and one of the first things that happens when you come back is you check on everything. Family of squirrels moved in under our deck, and as I walked out, the aftermath of their great party put me flat on my back, so I've got a little hitch in my get-along this morning. Hopefully it won't affect what we do here. Master, to whom shall we go? Some of my remarks today are going to be with the help of Father Roland Faley from his book, Footprints on the Mountain. If you remember that early in his video series, Catholicism, Bishop Barron cautions that the world must not domesticate or water down Jesus. He either is who he says he is, or he's a very dangerous man. Well, this week's scripture theme contains some hard questions of choice to God's people. And we see the combination of two witnesses' response, Joshua and Peter. I prepared this homily in light of the last 5 weeks of John's chapter 6. Mark's gospel is not long enough to cover all 34 weeks of ordinary time, so we have this month of John and the Bread of Life discourse, but also the past few weeks of front page news, first of the Cardinal Archbishop and then the Pennsylvania Grand Jury report, has weighed heavily. The 12 apostles in today's gospel are asked to make a choice, either to believe and accept the new covenant he offers in his body and blood, or return to their former ways of life. Their choice is prefigured by the decision that Joshua is asking of the 12 tribes of Israel that was made in today's first reading. Now, forced love is no love at all, and God always wants for us to have a free response, and that our free will and liberty he will never violate. So in the gospel, seeing their choice, seeing them leave in large numbers, Jesus doesn't try to bring them back. He doesn't water it down with, "Oh, I was only speaking metaphorically. It was really only meant as a symbol." People choose to walk away from Christ today for various reasons. But most often it is not with Christ that people have difficulty. They would say that their problem is with the church more than it is with Christ, whose gospel message they do find challenging and appealing. Others openly admit that it's the pull of the world or their attraction to sin that destroys their Christian allegiance. So while Christ is seen as the teacher, the man for others, even the world's Savior, our murmurings today take a different direction. The church's failure to respond, a disinterested clergy, an intransigent authority, second and third marriages, serious questions of morality, and so the list could go on and on. We can only say that the church is not yet the spotless bride that Christ intends, as Paul wrote about in our second reading. The church has a human dimension and does not always measure up to our expectations, but it is still our key to God. It's the custodian of his teachings. It's the focus of our sacramental life. It is the church that accompanies us from the baptismal font to the cemetery. Yes, we're always free to walk away, but as Catholics, we can hardly say that we would walk away from the church, but yet remain with Christ. The church still is the bride of Christ, even though all those wrinkles have not yet disappeared. And lately, it seems perhaps some of those wrinkles have torn. Within the last month, what we've been bombarded with in the news is about a lot of misbehavior by a few clergy. Along with Pope Francis, I imagine we all share the shock, the disappointment and shame that these events ever happened, and the failure by those in charge for not taking prompt action. It hits hardest to those of us with family and friends who have been victims. To those of us who are ordained clergy, for Father Tom, Deacon Frank, myself, puts a shadow on us and all of our work in the sacramental, spiritual, and daily lives of you, our brothers and sisters. You know, it's good to go whenever possible to the source document and not just look at the clickbait of a headline or someone's opinion piece. I will say, in reference to the Pennsylvania grand jury report, as far as I can tell, all but two of the many events in that report happened decades ago, already being reported on by various media. When this came out and came to a head years ago, the bishops gathered together all known allegations, around 11,000, that had happened over 50 years within the church, gave it to the John Jay School of Law in New York to analyze, review, and to report back with recommendations of how to prevent this from ever happening again. On the year that the John Jay School gave the report to the bishops, the Federal Health and Human Services Department logged in over 80,000 similar abuse cases in the U.S. This is not a problem of the church. This is a problem of us as humans, something that we need to be aware of and always vigilant for. Now, our diocese, first with Bishop Amon and now under Bishop Vasquez, has been on the forefront of applying ethics in ministry to avoid this from ever reaching the most vulnerable among us. Whether you're called or whether you choose to do ministry here in church, your ministry as a Catholic Christian in your community and in the world puts you in a position to be a light. Take advantage of the ethics and ministry training, even if you're not going to use it here. You can use it at your place of work. You can use it within your neighborhood, within your network of friends. On Friday, Maggie Gallagher, the executive director of the Benedict Institute for Sacred Music and Divine Worship, wrote an opinion piece for the USA Today newspaper. She chose the title, "Why, Despite Abuse Scandal, I Am Still a Faithful Catholic." In it, she says, "It's true that in a world that today, as in the past, is full of injustice, fear, pain, illness, betrayal, and suffering, and which ends everywhere inevitably in death, God sent His only Son to die for our sins, to show us that redemption is possible, to prove that evil does not rule, to show us that when we can see, what we can see is not all that there is. God never violates our free will and our liberty, and with great love, He asks for a response from us. Jesus then said to the 12, 'Do you also want to leave?'